Well, hello. So, welcome to Date Night with Jesus. Bear with me as we jump into John chapter 5. This is my first time, so if I'm nervous, sorry about that. But let's jump in the personal time with our Heavenly Father. Why shall we? So as we jump into John chapter 5, we start with the story of a man at a pool in Bethsaida in Jerusalem. So John 5, verse 1. After there is a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went to Jerusalem. Now there is Jerusalem by the sheep gate, a pool where in Hebrew is called Bethsaida, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down to a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water, and when whoever stepped in first after stirring of the water was made well after whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that already had been in that condition for a long time, and he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" What really stood out to me so far, I've read this past 2 weeks, John 5:5-6, this man was in infirmity for 38 years. Can you believe that? Almost his whole entire life, he was in infirmity.
Yeah.
But infirmity means a broad concept of human weaknesses and a physical illness. Can you imagine being sick for 38 years? I couldn't even handle for a dang a week. Jesus comes to him out of the group of people, to one man, to a pool, and ask him if he wants to be healed. Can you imagine? Out of this whole entire place filled of people, and he comes to this one man. Out of this whole group of people. In John 5:7, the sick man answered, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." The man says to Jesus he can't get in the water because everyone gets in first. But Jesus did not ask him that question, did he? No. He asked if he wanted to be made well.
Right.
Now here comes the amazing part in John 5:8. Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. This can be applied to what we're going through in our personal lives. Jesus knows the desires of our heart. But will you step out and accept his power, his love, and what he can do? Because in Matthew, verse 26, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Now we move on to the second part of John 5. And this part, it can get a little messy. Now, did you know the Jews did not like how Jesus healed that man because it was done on the Sabbath? John 5:10. In that day it was a Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is a Sabbath. It is not lawful to carry your bed." They didn't care who the man got saved by. They were concerned why it was done on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. Back then, it was against the law to carry your bedding or bedroll, back then, because the Jews thought it was against the law doing the work on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
They didn't care who healed the man. They didn't care what happened. They just cared what happened on the Sabbath. But now, here comes the crazy part. After the Jews, also the Jews sought to kill Jesus, our Savior, our Heavenly Father, because he did something on the Sabbath. John 5:16. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done things on the Sabbath. Back when this happened, there was two charges against Jesus. Because one, he healed a man on the Sabbath. But the second, there was not supposed to be no medical practices were permitted on the Sabbath except to prevent death. I got this from my mom's Bible commentary, which is in King James. So, because otherwise, I did not know that. Now, John 5:17-18. But Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now. I have been working. Therefore, the Jews sought all more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." Now, the Jews did not like this either. Only Jews doing things on the Sabbath, but now they definitely don't like him, because he said he was Son of God. Now, that's just mind-boggling. Now, the third part I want to make clear is really important because Jesus is talking to the Jews. But not only that, it's written in red letters, meaning it's Jesus Christ himself talking to these people. Now, John 5:19-20, it says, "Then Jesus answered and said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but when he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. He will show him greater works than these that may marvel.'" Jesus talks about the relationship with his Father. Jesus explained that he, the Son of God, does nothing independently. He was fully submitted to the Father's will. This submission comes by choice, not anything else or inferior nature. I got some notes by using the Blue Letter Bible, which is a recommendation by Pastor Hall and my mom, so it really does help. So, and it's under David Gusick. If you want to write that down and look under for your own Bible time, you can. I do recommend it because it does help. John 5:21-23. "For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, and that you may marvel. For the Father raises the dead, gives them life to them, even the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but is committed to all judgment of the Son. That all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Father, honor the Son, does not honor the Father who sent him." Now, Jesus is saying here in this text that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. God gave his word and this judgment to Jesus so people should honor Jesus as they should honor the Son that just honored the Father. Failing to honor Jesus means that it's impossible to honor God who sent the Son. So if you don't honor Jesus, you don't honor God. Right. But if you do honor Jesus, you honor God. That's get this?
That's right. That's good.
Also, another verse that reminds me of this is John 14:6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, John 24:27. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears the word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those will hear live. For as the Father has his life in himself, so he has also granted the Son to live to life in himself." Jesus is saying here, from death to life through the Son of God is basically another way of saying we believe in Jesus and we have everlasting life with him. Another verse reminds me of this, and of course most of us, all of us probably can quote it, is John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 5:28-30. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which you all who are in graves will hear his voice, and come forth those who have done good to resurrection life, and those who have done evil to resurrection and condemnation. And I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. It says here, Jesus is saying here, in reality, the Son's coming judgment. Now, I know people are saying we're in the end times, and let me get this clear. We don't know when the time's going to happen, but we should not fear, because he did not give us a spirit of fear. What in this scripture is telling us, Jesus is telling that the resurrection of life, the resurrection of condemnation. Jesus explained this in astonished religious leaders to explain he was the nature of his authority. At the same time, he also tells something remarkable about humanity, that everyone, both those who have gotten done good and those who have done evil, will live forever. By the way, hell is not a good place to go, so please believe the Lord. It is far beyond the physical and material life we know here on earth in this age. Jesus will command them to rise on the day that God says is time and the body is suited for eternity. Now I said before, do not fear, because that day we will see our Heavenly Father, and that should be a joyful day, because I'm ready to see him. And can he come now, by the way? John 5:31-39. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There's another who bears witness of me, and I know the witnesses, which are he witnesses of me, is true. You have sent John, and he was born witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that ye may be saved. He was burning and shining lamp, and you were willing of the time rejoice in his light. Jesus is talking about the fivefold testimonies, and I will give you where he is talking, but I will not go as deep because it's really deep, and I do recommend it. I'm reading it in your personal time, and chew on it, and just mull on it, because it's just amazing of deep scripture in this, of every testimony he mentioned. The first one is Jesus tells a testimony beyond his own regarding himself, which is John 5:31-32. If I bear witness of myself, the witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witnesses, which is the witnesses of me, is true. The second one is the testimony of John the Baptist, and that is John 5:33-35. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you are willing for the time to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness in John's for the works which of the Father has given me to finish, and the very works that I do. Bear witnesses of me and the Father who has sent me. The third testimony is how works of Jesus, and that's John 5:36. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works of the Father has given me to finish, and the very works that what I do bear witnesses of me that the Father who has sent me. And the fourth is the testimony of the Father, John 37-38. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom who sent him you do not believe. You have searched the scriptures for in them you think you have eternal life, and these things they of which testify of me. The fifth is a testimony of the scriptures. and that is verse 39. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. The things are they which testify of me. I got this again from the Blue Letter Bible and David Gusick, and it goes more in depth, and I have read it, and it's amazing how this man goes into deep into this scripture, and every scriptures that he puts out there, it's going deeper and deeper, and then I can imagine. And John 40 through 44 talks the reason of their unbelief. But you do not, but you are willing, you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive honor from man, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come to them in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? I want to camp out in this question. How can you believe who you receive from another, but you do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? I just can't. Can you imagine of asking this question, and yet you're receiving a different person, but you're not receiving the person that can give you eternal life? That you will, and that your Creator that made you even knew you before you even came into your mother's womb. How can you not believe Him, but yet you want to believe another person? Why would you want to believe another person? Because that person is not the only person that has the answers is God, and He's the only one that's perfect. And I can't even imagine of believing anybody else, because God is good all the time. John 5:45-47 talks about the testimony of Moses. Do you not think I shall accuse you of the Father? There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? If you can't believe him, Moses got the Ten Commandments from the Lord. But how can you believe Moses if you can't believe God? You got to believe God to even, if you want to know if you want to believe and believe Jesus, read this. It's the Word. He is the Word. He is the living water.
Yes, He is.
And if you can't, I can't imagine without living without the living water, because if I can't live without Jesus, I'm nothing.
That's right.
Without Him, we are nothing.
Right.
But with Him, we're everything.
Yeah. Right.
We're His child. We're His children. Because I wanted to go deep dive in John 5, and it opened my eyes to things I need to fix. But also, this is just mind-boggling of what Jesus went through, because He healed a man on a Sabbath, and yet the Jews wanted to kill Him. I mean, can you imagine Him saying all of this, and yet they're still wanting to kill Him? They want to still kill Him, but yet He told the truth, and they didn't want to hear the truth. But just to imagine how He wrote these words. We've read, we probably all read Book of John a lot of times. But reading the red letters, knowing that Jesus wrote them and said them, is amazing. Because can you imagine the disciples of witnessing that? Of Him healing a man on the Sabbath, and doesn't care that He healed a man on the Sabbath. He was just doing the work of His Father. He was doing the work of His Father. He didn't care what day it was, what week it was, what year it was. He healed the man because God told him to heal the man. And yet the Jews are over here like, I don't want that. It's a Sabbath. You're not supposed to heal the man. And in my opinion, believe in the word, not the religion. Because he's the only way to heaven. And if you don't believe him, then where are you going? That's not a good place to go. Because like Pastor Hall said before, there is no pottering in hell. It is the worst thing you can even imagine. And why would you want to go to a place that you're that is going to hurt and make you, why would you want to go there? Because in, I know probably my mom and I watched Bokus of Times, is God's Not Dead, the movie. And the lady told her son, didn't know her son was there, and yet said, the gate's going to close, and people are not going to realize what danger they're in if you don't believe. Because if you don't believe, what are you going to do? It's not a good place to sit there and, oh, yeah, it's all fun. I get to party. I get to do this. I get to do that. And yet that gate's going to close one day. And then what are you going to do? You can't ask for a second chance. Once that gate closed, it's closed. Fix your lives now before it happens and that gate closed forever. Okay, I'm done.